Okay, I think we have, Christopher, I think you said there were going to be about 10 or so folks. It looks like we have a critical mass, so I think we can get started. As I mentioned, Stephanie, my name is Sylvie Hale. I'm with West Ed, and we are a consultant to the San Diego and Imperial Counties region. And one of the things that we're tasked with is to identify some technology that can support the work-based learning, activities on campuses, job placement, and so on. And what we're really here to do is learn from you in terms of, you know, what's it been like to implement JobSpeaker, you know, what are some lessons learned, and so on. So I know we sent you the questions we prepared ahead of time. So I'll be kind of, you know, doing this sort of in an interview format, if that's okay. And
sure.
Before we get started, I want to mention to everyone that we are recording this. Just want to make sure that everyone's okay with that before we continue. So just making sure no one has any objections. Okay, great. Because we know there were others who wanted to listen in but couldn't join, so we'll have this recorded. Also joining me here from West Ed is Erin Carter, and what she will be doing is monitoring any questions or chat in the chat box. So as Stephanie, you and I are sort of doing this virtual interview, folks can pose questions using the chat. At the end, we will open it up so that you can actually ask questions directly. But in the before we do that, we're asking everyone to pose your questions or make any comments using the chat. And Erin will monitor that to make sure your questions get addressed. So what I'd like to do now is Stephanie's give you a minute to introduce yourself, tell us about, you know, sort of what's your role related to JobSpeaker, and then we'll jump right into the questions.
Sure. So my name is Stephanie Baltazar. I am the program manager for student employment at Bakersfield College. I've been in this role for almost 2 years now. Our student employment went through a complete revamp. I oversee all of our on-campus student employment, which we employ about 700 students each year. I also oversee internships, work experience, and just truly anything career-related. I have a department assistant that works with me, and then I also have 5 job development specialists that work under me and a student ambassador. So I do have a big team. I have an additional 8 student employees that are also fall under me. We host events, activities, recruitments, career exploration fairs. We table at different activities and fairs as well, and we truly are just kind of the career liaisons for the campus. Our campus is guided pathways. We implement the guided pathways approach. So each of my job developers are assigned to a pathway where they basically are the lead in that portion, connecting students with employers, working with faculty to gain new industry employers, but they pretty much get to own their own industry and have creativity within that industry when it comes to doing events. Just a little back history. I don't know if anyone was familiar with C6 or if you guys had that grant, but probably 5 years ago, we had the C6 grant where this kind of all started, where we were required to collect employment outcomes for students who had completed our programs and to ensure that the students who were employed within the field that they graduated with their major. So we had 400 students within that grant, and we were responsible for calling them every quarter, tracking their employment, and ultimately we kept getting asked by AJCC ACJC, one of our accrediting bodies, for outcome employment outcomes. So it basically was we had to shut down the office. All of our team would hop on board. We had advisors at that point, and we would just be calling students to find out if they gained employment. Well, we were all tracking this by an Excel spreadsheet, and our campus serves 37,000 students. So it was becoming a little much. So we were on the hunt for a system that could be utilized in multiple ways to serve our campus, but also we wanted to be ahead of the game as the state is a little behind in providing us that real-time data for employment. So we came across JobSeeker. Our priority at the point when we first started with them was on-campus employment and transitioning from what we did have, which was you go meet with a job developer with an appointment, you look on the virtual job board, and then you bring those job numbers to the job developer. They will then write you three slips where you would then have to walk around campus, interview with different employers, and if that didn't work out, you had to go back and make an appointment. Appointments were running about 3 weeks. So our HR basically said that needs to stop. We need to move to an electronic system. We need to make it more equitable for students. And that's what we were able to create with JobSeeker, and it's awesome now. Right. Sorry, that was kind of a mouthful, but I figured I'd give you the little backstory.
Yeah, no, I think it's always good to get that backstory.
A little hard to hear you, Sylvie.
Sorry?
I don't know if it was just me. It was a little hard to hear.
No, I couldn't hear anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, let me get a headset so that you can hear me better. Hear me now?
It's a little better.
Okay. Let me turn myself up. Is this better?
Oh. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I'm so sorry about that. So there's really, we have prepared some questions, and I know we sent those ahead of time, but for everyone listening in, we have three sets of questions. One set is focused on sort of who's using it and the types of activities that JobSeeker is being used to support. The second set of questions are around implementation, and the third is around regional employer engagement. So let's, and then we'll stop and have Erin look at any questions that you have in the chat after each set of questions. So the first question we have is, what are the roles of the different types of users that are in JobSeeker? For example, are faculty in the system as well? Are students in the system? And that, you know, it'd be good to know who all is using JobSeeker.
JobSeeker, I know, does offer multiple roles. However, at our campus, because I do have so many job development specialists, we are the ones that mainly manage the site. So we utilize their admin roles. The students obviously utilize their student roles. Employers have their own role. Our on-campus supervisors, who we consider employers, also have a separate role. And then we do have some faculty that utilize the system, but not enough to implement it campus-wide. I would say we have about three faculty with logins. But okay. Other than that, those are the ones that we utilize at Bakersfield College.
Okay. So how many people are actually using JobSeeker? How many users would you estimate?
I can pull up that number. So currently we have 6,646 students in the system and 640 companies.
Wow. That's a hefty number. I wasn't expecting that, actually.
And we actually, just to let you know, we have to do this manually. Our campus, we've not yet integrated into Banner, and it has nothing to do with JobSeeker and everything to do with our administration. We don't move very quickly. So that number has all been done manually by visiting classrooms and getting students engaged and having them sign up on their own.
Oh, okay. So what kind of feedback have you received so far from the different kinds of users?
Our on-campus users, supervisors love it because they now have more freedom when it comes to assessing the students that they want to interview. Our students really like it. I've not heard, more so it's those who are not necessarily technically savvy are probably the ones that get a little more frustrated. However, we offer additional support. So we have a student employee who hosts peer-on-peer workshops every single Monday where students can go in and get help or register for their accounts. We also have a student go out and do, we have a pop-up tent, and they go out and support students in, you know, encouraging them to sign up. We also have a student employment lab open during office hours where students can just basically come in, get any kind of support. And then, of course, our office is here, and we pretty much will help students at any point. The students like it because they have the mobile app. They can apply at any point in time. It doesn't have to be, they don't have to be on campus. They can be at Starbucks and apply for jobs. They get notifications on the events. So I've not heard too much negative feedback to the point where it's really working for the majority of our students. We've not had any major issues to where they've wanted to, like, you know,
jump out a window or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it just works for us. In fact, my on-campus supervisors love it. I get compliments all the time about how we have just improved the system so well, and not just the system itself, but the process in general. So that has a lot to do with it also.
Okay. And following up on the student users, are they also using, I know that JobSpeaker has, you know, they're sort of embedded videos and ways of, you know, improving your resume and uploading the resume. And do the students use any of those features to sort of prepare?
Yes. So that is actually a requirement for on-campus employment. They must upload a resume. They will get rejected if they don't. So that is a requirement. We do have students that upload additional items like the, you know, letters of recommendation, things of that nature. We encourage students, because the one thing that was a concern when we implemented the required resume, because it previously was not required, was that students would have a barrier that if they didn't have a resume, they would, you know, not know what to do. So the fact that JobSpeaker has a button that automatically converts your profile to a resume eliminates any barriers for our students trying to utilize on-campus employment. It's a starter resume, but it gets students going. And then our goal is, in any of the feedback that gets to the students, so maybe they didn't get selected for the interview or they got rejected, each automated message or even personalized message has a prompt to come visit our job development specialist so that we can help you. And so then that comes back to the case management, to where we want to make it more personalized.
I see. And is JobSpeaker used in any classroom activities? I know you said there were only three faculty in the system, but does it support any sort of work-based learning opportunities, things like that?
It does. So I've utilized the work-based learning portion of it with three of my faculty. I've not been able to implement with all of them because some of them are very old school. So that's just one little barrier that we're working towards. But my technically savvy ones, yes, have utilized the work-based learning component. And it's helpful. It eliminates multiple emails of work that the faculty receive. So everything's all up in one place. They can review their three-page report. They can check their time card. They can, you know, review the evaluation all in one database.
And then what about employers? How do they interact with the system, if at all?
Employers are employers. We have them register for accounts. So our employers will post jobs. And then they have an event or something and they want us to share it. For purposes of being able to monitor that, we actually we review the flyer and then we will post it on their behalf as an event. But they also register, so we utilize JobSpeaker for registration of our events.
And how easy, I know questions have been raised in the past about whether employers would be willing to register. How easy was that? Was there sort of a PR campaign, or did you go employer by employer?
No, we just kind of put it on the flyer. We didn't really give them much of an option. We just said, follow this link and enter your information and we'll follow up with you.
Okay.
I've not had any feedback as to, oh, I can't do that, or I don't want to do that. We've, for the most part, our employers have been really supportive.
So that was pretty much sort of the overall set of questions around user role and activities. And I see that Jennifer Lewis is asking, how long has Bakersfield been using JobSpeaker, and is the 6,000 some odd number of students, is that current users, or does that include legacy students who are not currently at the college anymore?
That's a good question. We did have a small portion of our first group of alumni converted to alumni. So I don't know that they're still in the count, but that is from, we fully implemented. Okay, so we had a soft rollout April 2016. And then we hadn't taken over on-campus employment at that point. We were just trying to get employers into the system. So that was April. And then by June, we moved into our on-campus employment. So by the beginning of the year in 2016 fall, so September was probably our full rollout to where we were pushing to get students in the system.
Okay,
so we had over the summer to kind of like ease into it a little bit to really gain that feedback from students who were on campus, like students who were already working and employers who were year round. And then we fully went into it fall 2016.
Okay, so it looks like you've been using it for 3 years then.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it sounds like you used, you know, sort of the soft launch and then using the summer to sort of work out any kinks and sort of build the momentum. Have there been other phases since then, since you've been using it for 3 years? Has there been sort of a cycle of, you know, adding people or you know, bringing new programs on board or was that the launch, and then you haven't really done much since then? And the other question is, are there any future phases, any sort of expansion or scaling plan for the future?
So as of right now, we basically, like I had said, we have to manually enter our students. So we have our students doing workshops weekly. We have the pop-up tent out a couple times a week. Just to bring awareness to the campus, because our campus is so large, we don't necessarily see all the students at one time. We also have sister campuses in Delano and across town and our Southwest. In addition to, we have multiple other rural campuses. So we've been trying to ensure that we offer those services there as well. So we do kind of pop up and we set up, you know, and wait for foot traffic, or we go visit classes. On campus, a lot of our CTE instructors are very involved, so we're invited to their classrooms every single semester. Most of our faculty make it a requirement that students have to build a profile, and then we verify for them. And then also we've had students who have gained jobs where we've actually gone into the classroom and help the students enter that information in the U-Verify, just because the employer or the faculty wanted to ensure that they had completed that.
Okay.
So it's going to be an ongoing message that we send, because we have new students gear up every single year. Like fall, we have thousands of new students joining us. So it's kind of going to stay new all the time for us.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question? I don't.
Yeah.
get new faces. It's not going to be a self-sustaining system. We're always going to want to ensure that people know about it, that people are utilizing it, and we want to get that message out. So we have new faculty. We have all the time. Our campus is so large that anytime I have the opportunity to present, I present it like it's brand new.
I see. So say a little bit more about that. You've mentioned a lot about how you reach out to students, but what about the faculty? I mean, the fact that it's required that they build a profile, how did you get to that point? What was the messaging? Was it, were there policy changes in place? How were you able to implement that part of it?
So we receive strong workforce funding, and I believe it's like two or three of the recommendations per strong workforce is that students gain employment within their field. Our CTE faculty specifically are very frustrated by CalPass and the fact that EDD provides two-year-old data for employment. So their numbers look poor when it comes to, only, this percent of students gain employment from your program. How can we, basically, why would we keep you around kind of thing? And so to kind of help that, they wanted proof as well. So our faculty were like, if we can get real-time data, we're in. I have some data or some faculty that put it as part of their syllabus. Basically, our department has a great relationship with our CTE faculty, and so we're involved in their advisory board meetings. We speak about Job Speaker at the meetings. We go to their staff meetings. We participate in all kinds of activities.
That's very, very helpful. So just going back to Job Speaker for a minute, and also from an implementation perspective, how is the system itself actually managed? Like, who's really responsible for it? How much effort does it take to sort of make sure that the data are clean? So not so much from, getting students into the system, but managing Job Speaker itself.
It's a shared task. Like I had said, my job developers each have a pathway. So it's their role to kind of hop on daily to see any new employers. We get prompted with emails like, this employer joined an account. And so their role is to really assess it and say, I need to reach out to them because I have a career expo coming up. So, that kind of prompts them to go in and ensure the employer is valid and viable and, reach out to that employer and say, hey, thanks so much for signing up for JobSpeaker. Oh, by the way, I have an event coming up. So it really kind of takes the legwork off of them having to go pound pavement to get employers, where it allows them to kind of come to them. And then they check it daily also because when our on-campus jobs expire, they are required within 3 days to evaluate those students for minimum qualifications and send over to their supervisors. So I would say JobSpeaker most definitely has daily activity within all of my staff members. But it could be anywhere from 30 minutes to maybe a couple hours, depending on how many jobs that they have to evaluate.
Okay.
Or if they have an event coming up and they're constantly checking it to ensure that, they have employers registering. So, it's kind of like a no different than checking Facebook or something like, I got a new post. Great. I'm going to go on and check. So that's kind of what happens. We get prompted emails that say, so-and-so signed up for your account. Oh, okay. Let me go check it. Now that I'm here, let me make sure everything looks good on my end. And anytime a situation arises, my staff know to reach out to Job Speaker immediately and CC me so that we can ensure that if there is an issue, it's resolved quickly.
Were there any implementation challenges, whether it was, in the early years or since then, especially, since you have quite a few colleges listening here from the San Diego Imperial region, if there were any, what were the challenges to implementation?
Change, 100% change. And the fact that our campus has so many personalities, so many people set in their ways, and so many people frustrated by the system that it's kind of getting everyone on the same page, understanding how great of an opportunity this is for our students. And once you kind of throw out this is an equitable process and, you know, they got used to it, they really embraced it. So I think we had a lot of battles that we had to fight, not necessarily implementing Job Speaker, but because people were so frustrated with the previous process, it's like they almost couldn't get over it a little bit. So it just took a matter of customer service on our end. So what would happen is each of my job developers are assigned different departments. So like on campus, my job developer who is assigned to athletics, the first time they were getting ready to post a job, we walked over there, sat with them, ensured that they felt comfortable with the system. And then from there, they never needed us again. They were able to repost. You know, they keep in touch, and it really is, I mean, we have relationships with multiple departments on campus, so it constantly keeps us active in the fact that we need to know who's in EOPS, who's in athletics, who's, we have over 50 departments on campus alone that we deal with, and over 120 supervisors, so it just, it really kind of pushes us to work as a team, like, when we say we are BC, we truly are.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a lot of people to be engaged with. So,
and that's just on campus. That doesn't include our off-campus employers.
Right. I have some questions about that coming up. So it's really interesting that sort of your immediate response to the challenge was change. So are there any specific strategies or things? I mean, you mentioned a few things in terms of, you know, the personal touch and so on, but, you know, to that first hurdle of getting everyone sort of on board with this change process, because it does mean that people's lives will change in some ways. In some cases, it might be a different job description. Were there any sort of, what were some of your strategies in those early months?
In the very, very early months, we actually would host like focus groups for students, for on-campus supervisors, and then also for employers. We actually had one focus group where we had over 20 off-campus employers join us. We had some, you know, danishes and coffee, and they basically gave us their feedback and of what, how they could utilize the system and what it meant for them. Same thing with on-campus supervisors and same thing with our students. We held multiple student focus groups just to ensure that we got their perspective and we weren't trying to push something on them that they would not use.
And who was involved in some of the decision making in terms of, you know, getting the danishes, for example? Like, did you have like a steering committee or a task group that was sort of, you know, would come together regularly to plan out the implementation?
No, it was pretty much me. Unfortunately, we would have started Job Speaker much earlier had I not gone on maternity leave. And so basically our contract sat for a little while until I got back. And then once I was back, it was full on, let's get this implemented. I had two job developers at that point who were brand new to the college, so had no idea, had been kind of waiting for me to get back. So at that point, it was kind of make it happen. So I would say my focus group was me and two other new people. And then our department has grown substantially from that point. But I have a new director who is super, super supportive of anything that we feel would be a good opportunity to expand. And so he's kind of on board for any ideas that we have and how can he promote it within the, you know, the administrative side, whether it be getting us on the agenda at the admin meetings or something like that.
I see. So I don't see any additional questions from in the chat around implementation, but I do want to give folks a chance if there are questions around what Stephanie has just been sharing. If you want to quickly type any follow-on questions or comments, we'll give that a second or two. And then we'll move on to sort of this regional employer engagement sort of set of questions that we have. Okay, I don't see any new questions coming in. So we'll move on to, you know, one of the questions that we're really looking at or you know, in terms of using JobSpeaker is actually coordinating across the colleges. And, Ben says he has a question. Sorry, I'll stop. So if you want to type your question, Ben.
And Alex has one already, if we want to start with Alex.
Yeah, so Alex asks, when first implementing, how much time did it take for students to actively start using JobSpeaker on a daily or weekly basis?
Say that first part again, on what?
When first implementing, how much time did it take for students to actively start using JobSpeaker on a daily or weekly basis?
So we basically encourage our students to check it daily because we have job postings on campus and off campus all the time. So it just kind of depends on how active the student is when it comes to job hunting. I'm actually doing I'm evaluating some applications right now, and there's like 100 students that have applied for the job that I have to evaluate. So I guess it just depends on the student. And, you know, we share that message of, you know, there's new opportunities posted daily. And if you miss the expiration date, like any other job, you're kind of out of luck. So that was one big thing that we wanted to ensure that our students were receiving was a real world situation. You know, employers that post their jobs online through their systems, they don't wait for you. There is an expiration date, and when you don't meet that deadline, your resume will not be received. And so that's what we're trying to ensure that we push on our students. And so if they're not actively looking, then they're missing out a lot. However, we do promote our events through it, and so students have the opportunity on the mobile app. They receive little notifications, like as if you were to receive a text message, that could prompt them to essentially check it and say, oh, you know, what's this new message?
I see.
Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah, and Alex did expand on the question. He says, or to go further, how long did it take before you started seeing the data come to fruition and seeing significant placement data?
It was placement data or just students enrolling into JobSpeaker?
Placement.
So placement data, we are still, the on-campus placement data is automatic. So that's something that, you know, we don't really have to search. The off-campus placement data, because some of our employers, obviously, you know, our bigger companies, Dignity Health, they're not going to utilize JobSpeaker for the actual processing of applications. However, they do use it as a platform to have students get to theirs. So for us, what we're trying to do is build relationships with those employers so that they'll come back and give us the information of who got hired. And then we also prompt students to say, hey, you had applied for this job. How did it go? And then and hopefully prompt them to do it. So the U-Verify component for off-campus employment, we're still working on the best ways of, I couldn't tell you like my best practice, except for when I have employers saying, oh, so-and-so got a job, perfect. I'm going to go in and enter that information on their behalf, or if they're still around, I'm going to go meet with them in their classroom to show them how to complete the U-Verify. So there's multiple avenues of completing the U-Verify system, and that was what we needed because we were willing to take the information, whether it be through an email to the faculty or a Facebook post or anything, and from the employer as well. We have an employer that comes on campus and does recruitments and basically provides us a list of who they recruited, and then we go back into JobSpeaker and enter that information just so we can have it right away and not necessarily wait on the student to complete it.
And then, yeah, and then Ben Gamboa asks also a data related question. Do you use JobSpeaker data exclusively for ACCJC reporting or to supplement the data?
Tess, at this point, what we're doing is trying to work with IR to ensure that our data within JobSpeaker is validated and that's something that they will also help utilize and implement. Right now, we're just kind of utilizing the information internally and for outcomes when prompted.
And then we have one more question from Kao. About LinkedIn integration. Is this something you're doing currently or something you're looking potentially to do in the future?
It's probably on our future list. It is not something we're implementing now, but I know it has the capabilities. We're just not there yet.
Okay, great questions, and thank you for being so thorough, Stephanie. It's very, very helpful. So we'll move on to the third set of questions, which is really, again, as I mentioned, focusing more on sort of a regional sort of employer engagement. And, you know, in the San Diego Imperial region, we're looking at the 10 colleges actually making use of JobSpeaker and potentially sharing employer records across campuses. And was just wondering if you do something similar. You mentioned off-campus employers being in the system, but do you share those with any other campuses?
So we do actually, we have a regional partnership with JobSpeaker and our Central Motherlode region, everyone. For the most part, I believe all but one, I think, is getting ready to implement. Everyone's at different stages. And that is something that we talk about when we come together of, well, when will we kind of share that information? At this point in time, we do not share employers. However, we're hoping to start small because within my district, we also have two other colleges. So it's Bakersfield College, Porterville College, and then Saracoso College. So my goal is once they're up and running, we can then share that information, but they're much further behind than we are with implementation. So sharing employers is not something that we're doing yet. However, it is on our, you know, our future to-do list. And when we'll get there, you know, I don't have an exact timeline, but I am working with my other sister colleges to ensure that they have everything that they need. And if this, you know, how we do our system is something that they want to implement on their campuses, because they do run much differently and they are much smaller and serve much less students than we do.
Mm-hmm. And so you're just starting those conversations around how sort of sharing that information might actually work and what sort of the process flows would be?
How it would, yeah, we haven't had those conversations of how exactly it would work because they're still in the implementation phases.
Right. Okay.
We had transition with administration. We have a newer dean in both areas. We've had some transitions with the actual job developers that are working there. They're both very new. So it's just a matter of getting them into the system, utilizing it before we even cross that bridge.
Right.
But it is on our kind of goal list.
Cool. So I've basically run through all the questions that we had prepared ahead of time. So kind of want to open it up to folks to ask your questions, and you can go ahead and unmute yourselves as long as you promise not to talk over each other, you know, to ask questions directly of Stephanie about anything that we've mentioned here or any question that you were expecting me to ask but I didn't. So kind of want to open it up for anyone to ask questions directly.
So Stephanie, this is Ben Gamboa. Thank you so much for your time in answering our questions. One of the questions that came up for me and that I'm still wondering, considering your personnel and human resources, in terms of implementing JobSpeaker, what was the impact on the time and effort required of employees during implementation? And how has that changed since you've gone full implementation and more to maybe the maintenance side?
So like employees, like those who work for me?
Correct.
Like our area? Okay. So definitely that was our priority at that point in time. And luckily, because we did do it over a summer, our load was a little freed up. That's essentially our role, is to ensure that all this flows. So we're kind of lucky in the fact that we wear multiple hats, but it's in different aspects of career, and it all comes back to careers. So I can't necessarily say that, I mean, I guess you could say it's kind of all of our time, but now the fact that everybody understands it, and I've had new employees come on board and I've literally sat with them and they're like, yeah, I've got it. And I'm like, oh, okay. And like, I felt embarrassed the fact that I didn't even give them the opportunity that I was like trying to show them how to use JobSpeaker, because they're like, no, it's pretty intuitive. It's user-friendly. Like, I got it, no worries. And I'm like, okay, great. So that makes me feel good, because my my employees who come on board, it doesn't take them very long to get in the system and get to know it very well, or, you know, they get to know it well within a short amount of time. So then they're able to go and start moving forward. Like I said, we utilize it for so many things that it is part of our daily routine, but it's not necessarily like consuming us with problems or anything? I don't know. Am I answering your question right?
Yeah, you are. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It sounds, just if I could interpret, it sounds as if because your implementation was integrated into many different components, it didn't feel like a piecemeal type of an implementation, and that it all just made sense. It all flowed together.
Oh, yeah, it all definitely flowed. I will tell you, our on-campus employment component was the priority for our campus. Like I said, we employ over 700 students a year, so that was huge for our administration. I mean, that was on my president's to-do list. So we had to ensure that component flowed beautifully, essentially, before we kind of went into anything else. However, we were still managing off-campus employers at that time. But now my job developers, because everything flows so smoothly on campus, they're able to really kind of keep that plate spinning while they go out and get new employers in the system. It allows them to really manage their load. So we're not just referring back to Excel spreadsheets. You know, and then me as their manager, I can go in and say, oh my gosh, I didn't realize we had Caterpillar signed up as an employer. Hey, my job developer for industrial technology, what are we doing with them? You know, so it allows me to kind of case manage. In addition to, we have students that we can pull up their job search. So we can see like, oh wow, you've applied for 15 jobs, but nothing's happening. Why don't we take a look at your resume? What are you not doing that's not getting you that job? There's just so many components of it that we can really case manage our students. And that's kind of our goal, because our employer feedback is students don't have soft skills. Students, you know, they're coming to us with the skill set, but not necessarily those soft skills. So it's like, how can we supplement the classroom in reinforcing those skills and allowing these students to really sell themselves, and how to conduct themselves at a work site?
I see Jennifer Lewis asked another question here. She asks, are all components of work experience fully running through JobSpeaker?
No. My work experience is interesting. We have work experience and internships, and essentially internships are run through our work experience course. Internship just means that we're physically placing the student. So I do, a lot of my faculty are adjuncts. They're not here all the time, or I have faculty who's much older. I have one that just retired that came back. He's not very technically savvy. So like I had said earlier, we've only implemented with a couple faculty. With our work experience course and or internship program. So we're still trying to get everybody on the same page in order to fully utilize that component. However, we have used it, and we've had good results for the most part. I created essentially a PowerPoint video that I did like a I spoke on it so that our students had their little orientation electronically as well. And so that's kind of my goal to get us to the next level, is to really have those videos available for our students so that when we're doing it, we can also do it. Because work experience truly should be like an online course. It's just kind of a hybrid, but they do have to meet with us in the very beginning. So my goal is to get the orientation out so that they can do everything via online.
Great. Any other questions from folks? And feel free to, you know, ask it directly or type it into the chat.
I'll just, maybe this would prompt questions or just give you a little more information. I will say the mobile app is a huge thing for our students. Not all of our students have laptops, nor do they want to be on campus any longer than they have to be or utilizing the library. So having that mobile application, because I can say probably 99% of our students have smartphones, is a huge thing. They don't even have to have data. If they can just hook up free Wi-Fi somewhere, they can go on and review videos. Maybe they're not able to get an appointment with a job developer right away and they have an interview coming up. They can view multiple short videos of how to improve your resume, how to get your elevator speech going, how do you present yourself at an interview. They can also take a look around in the UExplore and see what wages are being made within the field or the industry that they're, trying to enter. So JobSpeaker for us is kind of that all-in-one, where we don't have to send that student to one other app or one other online program. I feel, and we've gotten feedback and we've partnered up with our counseling department to really kind of narrow down those resources, because I think students get overwhelmed. And for JobSpeaker, it's all there. So they don't have to go to multiple different sites to do the different things, the activities.
Yeah, that's really useful information, because early on, I would say like 2 years ago when we first started this process, we actually interviewed some students and it was kind of a mixed bag in terms of their response to the mobile app. And I was frankly quite surprised. So it's good to hear that the mobile app is being really well received. So that's really good to know. Let's see, we have another question here from Mike. What are a few limitations of JobSpeaker that you would like to see them implement or fix, and have they been responsive to your feedback?
Yes, so we talk to JobSpeaker often. Anytime we have an issue, we're on the phone with them or getting a hold of them. We've gotten the results that we've wanted. I know they're constantly making improvements to it. So for us, it's a matter of getting in and utilizing these new components and not letting them kind of go to the wayside, but really understanding how UExplore works so that we can sell it to our students. I don't think we have anything on our list of things that we want done right away. I know we've given them lots of feedback, especially after we've had multiple events. So they've added new features, to that component. But there, for us, that was one of the reasons we went with them, was the customer service and the fact that they weren't just giving us what they thought was a good system, but they heard us. They came to our student and employer focus groups to hear out the peers that would be using it. So they've been really responsive. They understand that, it's like they evolve with the times as well and try to meet our needs.
Yeah, great question, Mike. Thank you for asking that. Any other questions? We have a few more minutes, and want to make sure that all the sort of implementation or other related questions can be asked.
I do have a question. It's Rishan.
Hi.
Hi, hi. I have a question regarding employer engagement. So some employers do have their own online, you know, career website where they prefer students to go apply. So how do you sort of persuade or convince them to use JobSpeaker if that's the case? So without having them to do double work.
Okay, so you kind of cut out. So how do we persuade the employers to utilize JobSpeaker without doing double work? What was the first component of that question?
So the first component would be some employers already have a website that they...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, their own website.
Yeah, so we don't fight them on that. That's where I say we build those relationships to ensure that we're getting that information back. When the student does apply, it does capture that information that they went to that next step in the in their job search. I can't think of what it's called. It lights up each step of the way. So what happens from there is we can have automatic responses sent out to the student to just say, to poke them, to kind of say, hey, we saw that you had applied for this job. How did it go? You know, did you get an interview? And then it will light up the next interview section if that student will go back and change it. Our employers, our on-campus employers utilize the system 100%, so we are able to collect that information, but off-campus employers, we cannot require them to do that, and we don't. We just hope that we build that relationship enough to where they'll come back and let us know who they hired so we can enter that information, or that the employer themselves will go in and verify it.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
I will add, I mean, we definitely have to do, you know, daily monitoring and things of that in order for the system to be great. So we definitely use it. We don't let it sit or babysit our employers. Our previous system had done that basically. It had just kind of, there was no need for us to log on and check it, and it didn't engage us at all with the employers. So this really prompts us to get involved, get engaged, and also reach out to mass amount of students that we wouldn't normally have the opportunity to share our events or activities with.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, whether it's JobSpeaker or any other kind of tool, you know, for it to be really effective when you're talking about that many users and that much data and information flowing through it, that it, you know, it becomes part of what you do on a daily basis, that it's integrated into basically your job. And I think that's the implementation, that's part of that change issue and change implementation challenge, which is, you know, how to transition from current ways of doing it, which may or may not be effective, which may or may not, you know, cause headaches, to one that then incorporates a tool that requires you to care and feed for it on a consistent basis. And that's a real challenge in implementation.
For us, yeah, for us, it wasn't. That's, like I said, that's kind of our sole responsibility. So it actually has made it amazing for us, the fact that we have kind of a bird's eye view into everybody's career, you know, opportunities and getting us connected automatically, where we're not having, you know, so-and-so, oh, reach out to this person, or, you know, it's taken three, you know, an employer, three people to get to me because they didn't know who to call or contact. So coming here, we're able to automatically reach out to them. And we are the student employment department. So it does incorporate us, and it is our job.
Yeah. It looks like Kevin is just asked a question. Any experience with API or data sharing with other systems? And if so, what systems?
No. So I don't know if that question involves like the Banner integration, but we're kind of in line with our district office to get that going. And then we're also still working with our IR department to see how we can kind of get that, get our data validated with them and in the systems that they use.
Right. So that, I think that, and Kevin, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that it was sort of along those lines that, you know, are there going to be connections with others or data systems or other systems?
It's kind of on our to-do list. It's just a matter of getting our IT and our district IT to implement it. So some yes are in the kind of in the queue, just waiting their turn. And then others, we're still just working with our departments to see what, how it can be utilized, what they can do, and how we can partner up.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I see we have just about 3-4 more minutes left. So want to make sure that all questions have been asked, that there's nothing else that's kind of burning for folks. So Stephanie, I really want to thank you, you know, for taking the time, you know, to share your experience with us. And it's really great, you know, to hear that you've been using it for so long and you know, so that there's sort of some sort of longitudinal information about it. Because oftentimes, you know, we can get excited about something at the beginning, but a few years in, you might, you know, not feel the same way. But it sounds here that you really feel you know, that over these years, this has really helped you and, you know, expanded your capacity is sort of what I've heard, through some of the things you've been saying. So again, I really want to thank you for taking the time and, really appreciate you sharing, your experience with us.
Yeah, no, thank you for allowing me to, share our opportunities with you guys. We are totally open. I have shared resources. If you guys do choose to implement, shared many resources with many other colleges, not just within our region, but all over California. And anything we can do to help, you know, not reinvent the wheel, we're all for it. We, like I said, our on-campus employment component is probably the biggest piece of how we utilize. And I will say, I love the fact that JobSpeaker, you know, it tracks every step of the way. So we truly have a reference. So if an employer is saying, well, an on-campus employer is saying, well, it's taking too long to get the student employed, we can say how long the student's been sitting in their queue. We can go back and reference that. So it truly kind of just stamps each part of the way for students and employers. It's just kind of our go-to system. We're just as excited about it now as we were 3 years ago when we started. We definitely have new areas that we're wanting to implement with our students and, you know, get more in each area, you know, become more proficient in how we utilize it, because we definitely want to ensure that we as a campus are utilizing all components of JobSpeaker.
That's great. And I really appreciate you extending, you know, the offer to share any resources. So I'm sure we'll circle back to you with additional questions or you know, to access some of those resources. That would be really great.
Absolutely.
All right. All right. So if there are no other questions, I think we'll close out this conversation. And again, thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your week.
Great. Thank you so much. I hope you guys find what you're looking for. And if you need anything, I am here.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.